You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered, 888-275-4265 or 888-ASK-HANK. I am pleased to announce that one day after the 44th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, President Trump signed an executive order blocking foreign aid on federal funding for international organizations that provide or promote abortions. And in doing that, he not only underscored pro-life values, but he moved to protect taxpayer dollars from an abortion industry that has taken the lives of, well, billions of preborn children around the world and approaching 60 million in the U.S. alone since 1973. Pro-abortion forces worldwide marched even before the executive order was signed, and one well-known spokesperson, Madonna, the material girl, in a vulgar, expletive-laden speech, said that she had, quote, thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House, close quote. But she decided that she would not do it because, quote, it wouldn't change anything. She went on to clarify that she was a person of love and nonviolent. But the violence that she does embrace includes the painful dismembership of defenseless preborn children, their parts sold on the world markets like mere material commodities. People like Madonna, who continue to fight legislation restricting abortion, are not pro-choice. They're clearly pro-murder. And while rhetoric has served to camouflage the carnage, the act remains the painful killing of an innocent human being. And I say painful because the methods employed to kill a preborn child involve burning and smothering, dismembering and crushing. And these procedures they're executed on live babies who have not been specifically anesthetized. Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger tacitly acknowledged this point when she wrote, "The most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is to kill it." The carnage that is taking place, hopefully at least reduced a bit by an executive order signed by the President of the United States. A lot of hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up is Sandy, listening in Reno, Nevada. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call, and God bless our new president for signing that executive order.
Amen.
This is my question. It's my understanding that since 1967 and the Six-Day War in Israel, that Messianic Jewish congregations have exploded, not only in Israel, but in the United States. And I think that's wonderful that these Jews are turning to Jesus. But this is my question. I have friends who now feel, Christian friends, not Jews, Christian friends, who now feel that after studying what the Messianic Jewish congregations are doing, that it's now pagan to celebrate Christmas, New Year's, and Easter. that we should be celebrating the feasts. And my question to you is, how, as a Christian, do I talk to my non-Jewish Christian friends and make them understand that it's okay to honor Jesus Christ, our Lord, on his birth, his death, burial, and resurrection?
Well, I think you've put your finger on the systemic issue, Sandy. I mean, the real problem is what Hebrews talks about when it says that when you revere the type as opposed to the antitype that supersedes it, it is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. And this is precisely what the Jewish community wanted to do. They had a living temple in their midst, but they wanted to continue with a temple made of luminous limestone and glistening gold. They wanted to continue with their own traditions when the fulfillment of those traditions have come in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think, unfortunately, there are many people that are of the same mindset today, and it's worthwhile to remind them that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. The reason is that Jesus is the antitype that fulfills all that came before. And to revert back to the types and shadows when the fulfillment has come is an abomination. Now, there are people that legitimately do not celebrate Christmas for reasons of paganism. They recognize that Christianity established Christmas as a rival celebration to pagan celebrations, but today Christmas has largely become pagan again, and therefore they choose not to celebrate Christmas, and that is their right and their prerogative, and I wouldn't say a thing against that. The thing that I do, of course, have a problem with is those who, again, do the very thing that we are warned in Scripture not to do, forget the antitype and replace the antitype with the types and shadows that preceded.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that answer. It really has created divisions in families because some of the family will say, I'm not celebrating anymore, and some of the rest of the family will say, well, we can't survive without celebrating Christmas and New Year's and Easter. So it's created quite a division in families.
Sure. And what you've done is the wise thing. You've gone beyond the superficial, and you're looking at the reasoning people have for doing what they're doing. Again, there's nothing wrong with not celebrating Christmas, but there's a lot wrong with not recognizing that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the types and shadows. Jesus, of course, said, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Sammy in Durham, North Carolina, listening on WTRU. Hi, Sammy.
Hey, Hank, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call, sir.
You're welcome.
My question has to do with the second coming of Christ. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine last night, and I made the statement that all the prophecies have been fulfilled. And I didn't finish the statement because later on that night I got to thinking, if I'm wrong, please correct me. All prophecies have been fulfilled that allows Christ to return at any time. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yes, Christ can return in the next millisecond.
Okay. The second part of the question is this. Did that all come to be when Israel became a state again in 1948?
Well, you know, it's wonderful that we have a democracy in the Middle East, but that has nothing to do with the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. The reason that the Jewish nation was judged was because they did not recognize Messiah in their midst. They cried out, crucify him, crucify him, his blood be on us and our children. And Jesus prophesied that within a generation, the temple and Jerusalem would be not just manifestly desecrated, but manifestly destroyed. And of course, if you look at the Old Testament, the Lord warned Israel that if she prostituted herself with the foreign nations around her, that they would lose their land. And so they lost their land in disobedience, and their not returning as the fulfillment of prophecy in disobedience. That wouldn't make any sense at all. The prophecies that you have in Scripture are there to demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. In other words, I told you these things using the words of deity. I told you these things before they happened so that when they happened, you might believe. So we have the prophets in Scripture, the apostles making predictions, and those predictions have been fulfilled precisely as they have been made, demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, a reliable authority. So what do we await? We await, and all generations have been awaiting the same thing since the fulfillment of the scriptural prophecies. They've been awaiting the time that Jesus appears a second time. At that time, the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. The dead will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The universe that groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and we will give an account for what we have done while we are on this earth. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Hugh, listening in Spokane, Washington. Hi, Hugh.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, my understanding is that in the geological record, many forms of life existed on the planet before humans. And my question was, if Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned, did that bring physical death into the world, or was the garden where all the animals lived eternal? I don't quite understand how you understand and process the stories in the Bible as compared to the geological record, and I was hoping you could explain that a little bit according to your view. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and I've said this before, but an Orthodox understanding of the Creator of all things is that He acts transtemporally. In other words, He acts across time in all of His creation, and therefore the cross of Christ retroactively atones for Adam's sin just as it proactively atones for the sin of Adam's yet unborn descendants. And I think in much the same fashion, and there's little difficulty conceiving of a transcendent God who predestines natural evil to precede the fall, even though the fall is the necessary cause of the evils that precede it. Now, that's one possible explanation. There are many other. I only bring this one up because it's natural for humans to see time's arrow from a forward perspective, but we do well to recognize that God's infallible truth is not always presented in chronological fashion. And as such, the advent of the last Adam not only atones for sins of thousands of years after the advent of the first Adam, but the last Adam, Jesus, is biblically portrayed as the Lamb slain from the creation of the world. So there are many answers that could be given, but I think the real issue here is that sin brought death and disease and destruction and decay. Spiritual death certainly happened as a result of Adam and Eve's fall. They were separated from God. And not only that, but the universe itself suffered. It now groans in travail. So the point is that the Bible is communicating chirologically, not chronologically. The point is that the Bible is communicating God's purposes in creation. If you want to understand how everything cashes out, you not only have to learn how to read Scripture well, but you have to learn how to do science well as well. Well, we are going to be at a station break in just about a minute, so I'm not going to another caller. Again, we'll be taking your calls right after the break. 888-ASK. Hank, do want to remind you that you can subscribe to my daily free e-truth. In this daily email, I send you clear and concise answers to the most common as well as the most difficult questions I've been asked as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I'll deliver them right to your inbox. These are questions dealing with all kinds of things, from Christianity to modern culture, to the world of the cults, the occult, world religions, worldviews, biblical interpretation, and much, much more. Answered for you every weekday, right in your inbox. Sometimes it'll be in the form of short videos, oftentimes in the form of written text. Each daily email from now through Christmas will feature a devotional from the heart of Christmas when you get to that part of the season. So these emails are seasonally developed as well. For your free daily e-truth, go to equip.org and sign up right there at equip.org on the homepage. Also, do remember that you can download CRISE Equip app and listen to the broadcast on your smartphone, archived editions as well, articles, and you can give on your smartphone in a safe, secure fashion as well. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important? The number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
realize that at this very moment, the persecution of Christians is gaining momentum around the world? Not just the brutal persecution of fellow believers by Islamic jihadists, but the soft persecution of Christians here at home by secular progressives? It's imperative that as Christians, we stand against this rising tide of persecution. To make your voice heard and your convictions felt, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Michael listening in Spokane, Washington, on KCIS. Hi, Michael.
Hi there, Hank.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, I have a two questions, I guess. It's all part of the same scripture. In the first part of Luke, it talks about that this is an orderly account of the life of Christ. And it in the temptation of Christ in Luke chapter 4 and in the temptation of Christ in Matthew chapter 4, there seems to be a difference in the sequence of the temptations. And with actually, that's what I see. And I'm wondering if Luke's claim that he's given the orderly account of the temptations of Christ, then is Matthew's an incorrect order of the temptations of Christ? And I'll leave you to answer the questions.
Sure. Yeah, I would say exactly the opposite. I would say that the Matthew account, as I recall, actually has within it, I'm not looking at it as I'm speaking, but I recall it has within it an order, but Luke does not say that what he is giving is following the sequence as it happened. And it's an orderly account. It gives the exact same three temptations, but again, it gives it from Luke's perspective, and he ends up in Jerusalem. The original Greek of Luke's account does not necessarily imply a sequential or chronological order of events. Luke could be arranging the order topically, perhaps geographically, since, again, his account ends up with Jesus in Jerusalem. But, yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that the biblical authors always do. They give the information from their own perspective, and if they did not, we would be crying collusion. The details are precisely the same. The temptations are precisely the same. But Luke oftentimes rearranges things, again, for emphasis, and Matthew does that as well. I mean, he does that with the genealogies. He doesn't give all the genealogies, but he is trying to collate them in such a way that they cohere with the name of King David. So this is not unusual, nor is it in the least something that we would consider contradictory. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Rob in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. Got a quick question for you, then I'll listen for the answer.
Sure.
The last caller in reference to Israel, I was curious of your opinion. As we recently witnessed the fall of Aleppo in Syria, would we, as American Christians, react the same way if we were witnessing the fall of Jerusalem?
I'm not sure I understand the question. I mean, if we saw Jerusalem fall, would we have a strong reaction to it? Absolutely, but we should have a strong reaction to what happened in Aleppo. We should have a strong reaction to what happened in Mosul. I mean, the reaction we ought to be having is to care about our brothers and sisters who are facing mass genocide in the Middle East. It is a horrifying situation. But, you know, if you look at geopolitical realities, the fall of Jerusalem would be something of enormous consequence for the world.
Okay. And from a Christian reaction, it would just be another, the same tragedy. I'm sure we would have some significant different feelings as far as the actual history of the area, but you wouldn't expect anything, any more involvement in the church, per se, or?
Well, I mean, look at this from a historical standpoint. It's pretty interesting. Temple Mount. When the Muslims, when they conquered the Christians and they took over Jerusalem, you'd go to the Temple Mount and it was just a garbage dump. Why was it a garbage dump? Why was there no real concern about it? It was because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ rendered the type insignificant because the antitype had come. And then obviously the Muslims cleared it and built the Dome of the Rock there. But for Christians, it's historical and very significant from that standpoint. But we are not focused on a tiny piece of land in the Middle East. The meek will inherit the earth. And so the commission that we have as Christians is to go out throughout the world and present the gospel and disciple all nations in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, tremendous geopolitical significance, tremendous historical significance, but we're as Christians looking forward not to the Jerusalem that is below, but rather the Jerusalem that is above, as Paul said, and is our mother. He points out that if you're in slavery to types and shadows, if you're in slavery to the Jerusalem that is below, then you're in bondage. And so he talks about that in Galatians chapter 4.
Forgive my historical ignorance, but when you say it was a dump after Islam took it over, do you mean they just everything was gone and everything that's there presently?
No, they were using it as a garbage dump. I mean, it had no significance because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right, but the physical structures remain that are there today.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it had to be cleared off because it was used as a garbage dump. I mean, the Christians didn't see it as having the same significance as it did prior to the time of Christ. Just like the temple would have no significance because the living temple had come. And when the living temple has come, then it's not about luminous limestone and glistening gold. It's about the living Christ in our midst.
Interesting. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Cody in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. Hi, Cody.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
I have a question for you. Had you heard of Kingdom Circles? And I would love to know your opinion on that, and I can explain if it's something that you may have not have heard of.
Yeah, probably something I didn't hear of. Maybe you need to explain.
So kingdom circles are an idea that I can identify as a Hindu or a Muslim and still enter the kingdom of God through a righteous heart if I know that it was through Jesus that I have a righteous heart and I can enter the kingdom of God. But I identify still as a Muslim or as a Hindu, mostly culturally.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at what you have to do if you are a Muslim. You have to say the Shahada, that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his apostle. No Christian can do that because the God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. And the Apostle Muhammad was a brutal, bloodthirsty man who invoked all kinds of edicts upon his followers that no Christian could possibly follow. So every single Muslim, and there are no exceptions, swears allegiance to both Allah and to his Apostle. A Christian, on the other hand, swears his allegiance to the God of the Bible, revealed in Jesus Christ. And that God, according to the Muslim view, is not a God at all. In fact, Allah and Muhammad both caricatured that God, not realizing that the God that they follow and the God that Allah purports to be is morally defective because independent of the universe couldn't exercise the attribute of love. Not only that, but the Muslim says that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you've committed an unforgivable sin, a sin that cannot be forgiven. They call it the sin of shirk. So there's no compatibility between the two belief systems. One is following Jesus Christ. The other is following Muhammad. And the chasm between Christ and Muhammad is a chasm that cannot be bridged with mere rhetoric.
Okay. That's great. Thank you for answering my question.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Keith in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Keith.
Hello, Hank. Really appreciate your show so much. And I saw you about 25 years ago in Hawaii, and you actually you quoted John 1 by memory, and so that was very, very awesome. And I love that chapter of John.
Hmm.
And then over the years I've been a fan of the show, your books, and a number of years ago I read the Apocalypse Code.
Yeah.
And it was something because I was everything I've been taught my whole life was basically shattered basically with that book. And so time went on, and then I reread it again recently, and it just seemed basically a central part of that whole teaching, that you said Darby, began was that they believe that trumpets, Day of Atonement and tabernacles hasn't happened yet, and they call it, you refer to the tabernacles as a semi-golden age. So it got me thinking that these seven feasts of Leviticus 23 have already been fulfilled in Christ, and as I study it more and more, it seems to be like an outline of his actual life from his birth and just all the way around to the 49 days of weeks, when he appeared to everybody and then sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Now, what was your view on that as far as those seven feasts in Leviticus 23?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's no question whatsoever that everything in terms of types and shadows are ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And one of the things that is so difficult and dangerous is for us to fail to recognize that. The writer of Hebrews makes very, very plain that those who are not aware of that, or who are aware of that, better put, and yet reject it, are trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. Which is to say that when the antitype fulfills the type, you can't go back to the type. The type has significance from a historical perspective again, but we never go back to the type, just like we will not go back to temple, priest, and sacrifice when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. The problem is that many people today are awaiting not only a third temple, but a fourth temple, and they expect Jesus Christ to preside over that temple and the sacrifices to be efficacious for ceremonial uncleanness, in other words, atone for sin. Well, Jesus Christ atoned for all sin on the cross. The point simply that, yes, we have all these types and shadows being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ himself said, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill them. We're coming to station break. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Also, on the other side of the break, the quote of the day. So please, stay tuned and stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. A popular poster reminds us that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's difficult in a world where we're constantly bombarded by distractions and the roar of the media that gets louder by the day, and where the temptations to major on the minor are relentless. But as soft persecution mounts for Christians in the West, and growing numbers of lives are lost to the brutal persecution of Christians around the world, we cannot afford the derailments that could result from these distractions. Because the work of equipping fellow believers to think and live Christianly has never been more critical, let us hear from you today. To make a difference in the ongoing struggle for truth and life, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from Irenaeus. The quote is as follows: we have learned from none others the plan of our salvation than from those through whom the gospel has come down to us, which they did at one time proclaim in public and at a later period by the will of God handed down to us in the scriptures to be the ground and the pillar of our faith. The reason I thought this would be the quote of the day is that here you have a second century Christian, a disciple of a disciple of an original apostle, explaining that at first the apostles communicated the gospel orally and then later wrote everything down. And it is these scriptures that form the ground or the pillar of our faith. Again, the quote of the day from Irenaeus. He was the bishop of Lyon, France, and a learner of Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Josh in Missouri. Josh is listening on Butt Radio. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, thank you very much for your show. I really enjoyed listening for about a year and a half, 2 years now.
Oh, cool.
Well, I've got kind of a really hard question. I'm trying to put together the last 10 minutes I've been waiting. So I got three statements to make, and then I have my question. So the first statement is, I read back in, I think, 2008, 2009 time frame, that 85% of Christians that grow up in a Christian home leave college an atheist or an agnostic. And then I heard Bertrand Russell was a philosopher or some kind of teacher back in the 20s and 30s, and I read one of his quotes. He said that by teaching psychological techniques to teach the children ages 3 to 5, give me a couple of years with them, and I will make an unshakable conviction that they will believe snow is black. So with those two, and then I saw a documentary with Ben Stein that basically points that evolution leads to atheism. So my question is dealing with education. So with Bertrand Russell and using social engineering for, I guess, education reform, I guess my question is, does that explain where we are today on why these kids, you know, are on why evolution is more of a fact in, you know, the education industry? I mean, obviously, I believe that, you know, I believe in creation, but I mean, if you look at today, I guess that's my question, you know. You know, is that why we are the way that we are today in education, and why most people believe in evolution versus intelligent design or creation?
Well, I think there are many reasons. I mean, let me start. I mean, you're talking about Bertrand Russell. He was a world-class philosopher. He was a leading intellectual. And he wrote an essay, which I discuss in my book, Has God Spoken? The essay was titled, Why I'm Not a Christian. In that particular essay, he said he was not a Christian, not because of the evolutionary paradigm, but rather because he felt that Christ was a false apocalyptic prophet, because he had prophesied that he would return within a generation. He did not, and therefore no amount of obfuscation on the part of Christians can absolve Jesus Christ of being a false apocalyptic prophet. Now, the prophet... The problem in this particular case with Bertrand Russell is he just didn't read Scripture in light of Scripture. Had he read Scripture in light of Scripture, he would have never said what he said, because Christ was not talking about his second coming. Quite obviously, he was talking about his coming in judgment on Jerusalem. The context makes that clear. But also, the language that Jesus used is the language that was used by the Old Testament prophets, and Jesus, a greater prophet than them all, uses their language and applies it to the fall and destruction of Jerusalem. With respect to the evolutionary paradigm, however, I think the problem here is that people are no longer following what I would call open-minded science, allowing the facts to lead wherever they will. Instead, what they're doing is they're presupposing only naturalistic explanations. And when kids hear that narrative over and over again, and they hear leading intellectuals making fun or characterizing the biblical account, it's no wonder that kids walk away from the faith. My 12-year-old, we were in Singapore, I'll never forget it. He said, Dad, if you weren't my dad, I'd be an atheist. And one of the reasons he said he would be an atheist is because he would not have known how in his own mind to reconcile the contradictions that were purported with respect to the book of Genesis. And if Genesis was flawed as the foundation of the Bible, the rest of the superstructure is bound to fall. Well, you know, there are answers to all of these questions, and we need to be able to communicate those answers. But the other problem that we have is that there is stakeholder interest in schools of intellectual learning. So it's no longer the scientist with the white lab coat. It is a scientist that has a specific agenda, and he has to walk lockstep according to that agenda. Otherwise, he gets nowhere in his career. And the kids are resigned to have to learn what the professor is teaching them, and they don't see the alternate explanation. That's why, by the way, I mentioned Bert Ehrman. He is very, very proud of the fact that most of the evangelical kids that come into his classroom lose their faith in a very short period of time. Part of it is because he's making this false dichotomy between faith and reason, between science and scripture. The problem with Bart Ehrman, just like Bertrand Russell, is a failure to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. You know, the Christian worldview does not preclude evolution. It precludes macroevolution. We believe that there are changes within kinds, just there's no evidence in science or scripture for changes from one kind to another kind.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to George. He's listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, George.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
All right. I lost a family member this year, and I understand that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
That's right.
But what I don't understand is what happens to all the atheists and the killers and all the unbelievers. Where did they go?
Well, Jesus explained that in Luke chapter 16, didn't he? He gives an example of a rich man who dies and a beggar who was lying by his gate who also dies. And the text says that the angels carried the beggar to Abraham's bosom, or paradise, in other words, to the presence of God. And the rich man found himself in torment, in earnest of that which is to come. In other words, he is separated from the love and grace of God, and that is the final estate of all those who reject what could be theirs. So they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They reject the faith that could be theirs because they don't want a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then God gives them what they want, which is an eternity separated from his goodness, his glory, and his grace.
Well, Hank, I sort of understand that. Except, do I understand it correct that hell has not been created yet?
Yeah, there's a sense in which you can say that, because if you look at Revelation chapter 20, there's a time when death and Hades are thrown to the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. So when Jesus is speaking about the rich man, that rich man is in Hades. And there's a difference between Hades and Gehenna. Hades is a temporary place of separation from the love and the grace of God, whereas Gehenna, or hell, is final separation from the goodness of God.
So for the thousands of years of all the unbelievers, they are just in a place separated from the love of God.
That's correct, because that is precisely what they want, yes. And that's the picture that Jesus Christ gives to us in Luke chapter 16. So in the total overview of Scripture, God never forces himself on anyone. If he did, if he forced people into heaven, heaven would be heaven, heaven would be hell.
Well, Hank, you answered a good question for me, and I do appreciate it, and I appreciate your service.
Thank you, man. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Amy, Dallas, Texas. Amy's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Amy.
Hi, I love your show. I've been listening for over 10 years now.
Bless you.
My question is, okay, so my husband is a professing Christian. He's been a believer since way before I knew him. We've been married for 17 years. In the last 3 years, he's left our marriage twice, neither, and filed for divorce, neither of which were biblical reasons. Just, he was just done. And this last time, I actually have had a biblical reason to file for divorce, which is unfaithfulness, infidelity. But he has moved out, separated himself from me completely, you know, just communication, everything. But he says when we do communicate, oh, I pray for you every day. I pray for the kids. You know, I'm praying that you will be able to see your part in this. And I just want think of the scripture in 1 Peter that says that treating your wife harshly can hinder a man's prayers. And I wonder, because he is a believer, even though he's not really adhering to the word about specifically the issue of divorce, what happened? How does that work?
Well, I think you've pointed it out. There are people who have a said faith as opposed to having a real faith. They say they believe, but the way in which they conduct their lives is evidence that they don't genuinely believe. And if you are living in willful rebellion against the principles and precepts of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then your prayers, of course, are going to be hindered. One of the things that happens in churches that have a correct ecclesiology is that there is repercussions for living in an immoral, sinful manner. And those repercussions are excommunication. And you're kept from partaking of the sacraments, which is a huge, huge deal for Christians, because now you are kept from partaking of that which gives you access to uncreated energy. Only God is uncreated. And so this is a way of being thrust into Satan's world, and it brings about an acute sense of, well, repentance. And so you say, Lord, forgive me. And you, but to say that, well, I'm a believer, but I'm not following Jesus Christ, that's an oxymoron. And I think a lot of people think that they can do it their own way as opposed to doing it Christ's way. Well, what is repentance? It's a turn, and no longer doing it your own way, but turning and following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, Amy, I'm going to have to leave it at that. My apologies to all those people hanging on. A lot of great questions. Wish I could get to them, but time is running out. I have enough time to thank those that stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. I say it many times. I try to end the show with it. Sometimes I don't remember, but most of the time I do, and that is we do what we do because life and truth really do matter. Well, thanks for tuning in. We'll look forward to seeing you with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.